Hey, members, I would like to get started. I know people have other commitments. I know that people are in other committees, but we try to run our committee on time, and so I would like to be able to start and end on time. And to end on time, we have to start, right? So hopefully, as our testifier won't have to go over everything twice, so maybe start a little bit of a slow start. But we are pleased to have with us for the presentation of the Parent Aware Year 2 Evaluation, Catherine Tout. She gave a presentation to some of the members and to agencies, and so some of us have seen a little preview of this before, and we are glad you're back with us. Welcome to the committee, and if you want to state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair and Representatives, my name is Catherine Tout. I am the Director of Early Childhood Research at Child Trends, which is an organization based in D.C., but I work here in a small office that we have in Minneapolis. So thank you so much for the opportunity to present these findings to you today of our evaluation of Parent Aware, which is Minnesota's pilot quality rating system. I'm going to talk a little bit, just give a brief overview of Parent Aware. I know many here know about it, but just to frame us in the right, make sure we're all on the same page about what Parent Aware is. I'll go over some of our questions and present findings in five key areas, and then we'll talk briefly about next steps, and then I can take some questions. So Parent Aware is a four-year pilot program. It's been operating since July 2007. It's scheduled to go through June 2011. And it's operating in some distinct pilot areas, including the city of St. Paul and Minneapolis, the Wayzata School District. It's also operating in two rural counties, Blue Earth and Nicollet counties. And then it's open in the 7-county metropolitan area for accredited programs that would like to enroll in Parent Aware. It's open to licensed child care centers, licensed family child care providers, Head Start and school readiness programs. And there are two rating options that are important to know about. One is a full star, full rating process where programs enroll and then are rated on a 1-to-4-star rating. And then there's also an automatic process where Head Start programs, school readiness programs, and accredited programs, if they enroll and meet some eligibility criteria, they receive an automatic 4-star. They earn these points that when a program goes through the full rating, they earn points in four categories, and those are family partnerships, teaching materials and strategies, tracking learning, teacher training and education. And they, the stars then are awarded based on the number of points that they've received in each of those areas. They also have to submit a health and safety checklist so that they can receive more than one star, be in compliance with licensing. This is just a screenshot of what it looks like if you go to the Parent Aware website, just to give you a sense of what you see if you're a parent or a provider on that site. You'll see the name and the location of the program. You can also click there if you want to get to a map. There's a small statement of the program's philosophy, so they get to say a little bit about what their program does. Then you can see, hopefully, it's a little bit small, you can see that there's both the overall rating, which here is this program earned a 3 out of 4 stars, and then you can also see that the ratings are broken down by the particular category. So you can see that this particular program received 4 stars in family partnerships, and 3 stars in teaching materials, 4 stars in tracking learning, and then 2 stars in teacher training. So it helps parents be able to see across those categories how they're looking.
So I am going to interrupt and call the meeting to order since we have a quorum now. And members, we have our testifier that's going to go over an overview of Parent Aware, an overview of the evaluation. A copy of the PowerPoint is in your packets if you'd like to follow along. And then we'll have some time for questions as well.
So Parent Aware is unique compared to some of the other quality rating systems that are in the in states. There are 19 or 20 other states that have quality rating systems, and a number of other pilots or quality rating systems in geographical areas. Minnesota's pilot is unique because of its focus on school readiness as an explicit goal of the quality rating system. It's also explicit in its focus on parents. Even just the name is something that is pretty unique compared to the way other quality rating systems operate. We also have a couple of other unique pieces where the Parent Aware uses an expert panel review of curriculum and assessment tools, which is something that very few other quality rating systems do. And there's also has been an explicit focus on cultural sensitivity and diversity that has actually been a model for some of the other quality rating systems in the country to look to in terms of just acknowledging this as an issue that needs to be addressed in the implementation of Parent Aware. So our evaluation has two components. It's got a process component where we focus on issues such as recruitment and enrollment. We look at general and specific implementation issues, and we're doing some work to look at a validation of the rating tool. So we want to do some in-depth analysis to understand if this rating tool is rating quality in the way that it's intended to. And then we also have an outcomes evaluation where we're looking at things such as quality improvement of the programs in Parent Aware, how parents perceive Parent Aware, and how they whether or not they're using it to make decisions about where to bring their children. And then also looking at some linkage of ratings with children's school readiness. We use data from all different sources. We have parent interviews. We have interviews with the staff in programs that are in Parent Aware. We use observational data. We also use a lot of administrative data that comes directly from the programs so we can learn more about how they were rated and the different documentation that was used for their ratings. And we already have one evaluation report that's been completed. That's available on the MELF website, which and as all of our reports will be. This year 2 evaluation report will be available hopefully by the end of this month. And then we have a final report that will be coming out later this fall.
Can I ask about that? So the final report, we're all eagerly awaiting that, because I think that's kind of going to be it helps us get the whole big picture.
Yes.
When you say late fall, do you have any idea what that means?
Initially, it was supposed to be, we had promised it would be done in December, but we know that the results are anticipated for the framework that MDE and DHS are working on, so we're hoping to get to move up the production of the report to hopefully September.
Oh, to September. So by September 30th, maybe?
Hopefully.
Okay, I would just say from our viewpoint, that would be extremely helpful as we're headed into a legislative session. We know MELF, there's some expectation the legislature will pick up the program or look at it, but if we so the earlier the better, so we can have an idea of how the evaluation came out. Great. Thanks.
So I'll walk through the findings now. We actually have a lot of other findings in the report, and I've focused on what I think are the five key sets of findings for us today. Recruitment and enrollment, then I'll talk a little bit about characteristics of parent-aware programs, talk a little bit about parents, and then give you some sense of what we're hearing from a range of different stakeholders on the impact of parent-aware on the early childhood system and the quality of programs, and then also what we are hearing from stakeholders about challenges and looking towards statewide implementation. So I'll start with recruitment enrollment, and we'll look at the number of and pattern of enrolled programs and look at those pilot areas and what proportion in those pilot areas have been rating, and then just a general question of overall how is recruitment going. So there has been steady enrollment in Parent Aware. As of August 2009, there are 342 total programs enrolled, and this doesn't necessarily mean that all of them have gotten a rating. That's important to say. I'm going to just, there's some numbers here, and you have them on your PowerPoint. I'll show you the pictures of that. This just shows you that overall trend that you can see it's kind of steadily going up across the cohorts. Parent Aware enrolls providers in cohorts beginning in August 2007. So you can see that steady line up. And then this breaks it down, this graph breaks it down by the types of programs. That top blue line is accredited programs. And then there's a red line that kind of takes a steep jump up and then flattens out. That's school readiness programs. There's a provisional rating, which I won't spend much time talking about, that was in place for the allowances program. There are very few programs rated at that level. And then two lines that are sort of steadily going up, and we'll look at those in a second. Those are the center and preschools and family child care providers. And I also forgot to mention the light blue, which is the Head Start. Again, those programs that have gone through this automatic process, especially school readiness and Head Start, because we have some pretty distinct pilot areas, came in quickly, and then now they're flattened out. There's no more programs enrolling. And similarly with the accredited programs. But the two that are enrolling still are, and at a fast rate, are the family child care providers and centers. You can see that green line is the family child care providers, and they are coming in right now at a higher rate than the, certainly than the center programs you can see, but both of those lines are heading up. This graph just gives you a sense of the proportion of providers in the pilot areas that have been rated. So across those four areas that I mentioned earlier, about 11% of eligible programs have a parent aware rating. And you can see the breakdown by pilot area. So St. Paul has the most at 16%, Minneapolis at 11%, Wayzata at 15%, and Blue Earth Nicollet at 4%. The accredited programs, about 82% of them in the 7-county metro area in Blue Earth have a parent aware rating. So there's been a high success of getting those programs enrolled in parent aware. How's recruitment going? We talked to a number of stakeholders, including those who are programs in parent aware, as well as state agency staff and legislators and others and agencies that support parent aware. So that was who is answering this question. And in general, there's the perception that the programs that could be easily recruited into parent aware have now enrolled in the pilot areas, and that those automatic rating processes have been successful tools to build a base of programs in parent aware. And there's some concern now that the parent-driven financial incentives for choosing a parent aware program, such as the allowances, which has ended, and the scholarships, which will end next year, that once those pieces are gone, that will pose some challenges to recruitment. I mentioned earlier that Parent Aware is focusing on culturally specific providers, and there is a work group in Parent Aware that addresses some of those recruitment issues. And then there's also the sense that programs may need some additional assistance in meeting the Parent Aware indicators, and for those who feel reluctant to come into the program, if there was some help towards meeting those indicators, it may improve recruitment. There is one of the strategies that has been used by the Parent Aware implementation team is to produce a video, and we're going to wait and show that as we head into the next part of the testimony. So I'll bypass it here, but we'll show it at the end of my presentation.
Members, we have a couple of providers here today. So we have two center-based programs that are here. They're going to talk about their experience with QRS, and we're going to show the video. Being at the time that we meet at, we know this is pickup time, is we're not able to get a family provider today, so the video specifically emphasizes that viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I'll turn now to talking about some of the characteristics of parent aware rated programs, talking about what their star ratings have been, how they're scoring on the different quality categories that I mentioned earlier. I'll also talk about a process of being re-rated. So for those programs that have jumped in at the beginning of the pilot and have been in for a while, they get re-rated on a regular basis, and we'll look at how they're improving in their quality. And I'll talk about how many children are served by parent-aware rated programs, the proportion that are serving children who receive CCAP, and then also some information about how providers feel about parent-aware. So right now there are 316 currently rated programs, and this mirrors that information we looked at earlier. 234 have this automatic 4-star rating. And then this gives you a picture of how they're falling out across the different levels. So these are initial ratings. So it's important to say that some of these programs actually may have already been re-rated and gone up. We're just looking at the first time they were rated here. And you can see that there were about 5 of the 90 that were rated initially at a 4-star, and 27 at a 3-star. The biggest category was 49 at a 2-star, and then 9 at a 1-star. And those numbers, if we looked at the current enrollment, which I believe was presented on Tuesday, some of those stars, there's many more that have moved into that 4-star category, for example, and we'll talk about that in just a second when I talk about re-ratings. And how are they scoring on these different categories? Well, each of the categories is worth 10 points. It's just helpful to get a picture of whether there are certain categories where they tend to do pretty well or certain categories that are difficult for them. We'll look first at family partnerships, and this is a category that looks at how programs are communicating with the families in their program and communicating with them about different issues such as transitions to school and other important issues that families and programs talk about. So in general, that green section of the pie up there is 4 stars. So programs are scoring on average about 8 out of 10 points. They're doing quite well on this category. Over a third of the programs in their initial ratings scored all the full 10 points that are available in this category. So this is a category where the providers are doing pretty well, very well actually. Teaching materials and strategies, this is a category that looks at the curriculum and the learning environment in a program. And in this, you can see that the average scores here are quite a bit lower. It's 4.2, so programs are scoring 4.2 out of 10 points. You need 4.5 to go up to a 3-star. So you can see here that there are a number, almost half of them are scoring at 3 stars, and about a quarter that are getting a 1-star in this category. Tracking learning is a category where the programs need to provide documentation about how they assess children, how they observe and track children's learning and convey that information to parents. And here, this category is one where they actually, getting up to that 4.5 so they could score a 3 was harder. This is the same average as the previous category, but there are many more. The bulk of them are here rated at 2 stars instead of jumping up to that 3 stars. Teacher training and education is a category that looks at providers' qualifications, and you can see here that it's pretty evenly distributed across the 4 different star levels. So there's quite a bit of variation in this category. So overall, on average, the programs are scoring higher in the family partnerships, lower in the tracking learning category. About a third of programs are scoring, they've got a profile where they have at least one category where they've got a 4-star and another category where they have a 1-star. And just as we looked at some of these programs and survey data they've provided to us, they're reporting that some of the practices that are assessed in Parent Aware, they report that they are doing those practices. But when they're assessed by Parent Aware, the criteria are more rigorous than what they maybe thought when they were answering a survey question. So we've taken this to mean that Parent Aware has some pretty rigorous standards for how they're awarding the points in these categories, given that some providers are saying they're doing things, but they're not getting credit for them. So turning to this issue of re-ratings, there have been 32 programs that have been re-rated. And there's a lot of detail here about the re-ratings, and I think what I'll do is just jump to the bottom line about the re-ratings. Overall, 83% of child care centers and 90% of family child care programs increased their star rating when they were re-rated. Over half of those that got re-rated moved from wherever they were, moved up to a 4-star rating. Talk now about how many children are served in Parent Aware rated programs. Looking at enrollment data, and from the last time we were presenting to some members of the committee, there have been a number of programs that actually were not included in some of the initial estimates. So the number now is almost 20,000 children that are served in Parent Aware rated programs, and you can see the breakdown. They're primarily school age programs. About over half are school age programs, and then it breaks down pretty evenly then the remainder across school age, toddlers, and infants. A question, just a general question about, do Parent Aware rated programs serve children receiving CCAP? And the answer is yes. The majority of rated programs, over 85%, say they are currently caring for children who receive CCAP. And another 12% indicate that they are willing to receive for children who receive CCAP, so child care subsidies. And now I'll talk a little bit about some perceptions of providers in Parent Aware rated programs. Overall, they're telling us in surveys that centers, directors in center-based programs, over 90% are telling us that they have a very positive impression of Parent Aware. Among family child care providers, it's a little bit more mixed. It's about 50% that report positive impressions. But the majority are saying that Parent Aware has been beneficial for their program. They appreciate the feedback, the assistance, and the resources that they are receiving through Parent Aware. And I have a quote here from a family provider that I think really sums it up. She says, "It has put my childcare on a totally different level. the way I feel about my program, the way the children are learning. It helped me figure out where I needed to improve. Even the way I set my room up was based on what I learned. Using creative curriculum has really been great, and the kids in my program have really benefited from that. I would never have been able to afford that or afford the training in Parent Aware made that possible. As programs come into Parent Aware, they are assigned a resource specialist, and this is someone who helps them navigate the rating process, but also helps them create a quality improvement plan. There were very positive impressions of the resource specialists. For example, one center director said, she was always open to questions and got right back to me with answers. She was very knowledgeable and helpful. I felt she went above and beyond to help my specific situation. Another part of being enrolled in Parent Aware through that full rating process is that programs receive an observation from an outside, a trained observer who comes in to be in their program for a big chunk of the day. And if they're a preschool program, they actually come back over the course of 2 days to do some observations and rate them on some standard scales. And this part of Parent Aware received some mixed impressions. Some providers did not like it and did not feel they were scored fairly. I thought this quote summed it up, this kind of tension about having someone in your program observing you. This family child care provider said, I absolutely loved them. Well, okay, I didn't actually love having them here, and maybe I was a little nervous, but I loved the feedback and seeing where I was doing what needs to be done. I want to be a fabulous provider, and so to read something that I thought I was really good at, but it needed improvement, that made me want to do even better. So I had no problem at all being critiqued. But as I mentioned, there are some providers who, when we ask them about their experience, they do feel that their program hasn't been rated fairly, or they feel that there were some things that weren't seen while the observer was there. So, for example, a provider who said, I do not believe the rating is reflective of the quality program that I offer for families and children. All of the respondents that we talked to or that we received surveys from had suggestions for improving Parent Aware. I think of the responses, one of the most common responses was they wanted to see increased flexibility of the program to accommodate different program philosophies. So, for example, a Montessori program, different cultures, and then different types of care. So some family child care providers felt that Parent Aware wasn't as sensitive to the differences that you might find in a family child care program compared to a center-based program. So, one center director said she'd like to see more tolerance in the rating system. The standards are too black and white, and in childcare there are many gray areas. Providers are also hoping to get some more time to complete the requirements and provide more supports for quality improvement, which is something we heard across a number of different stakeholders, not just the providers. So I'm going to turn now to parents and whether or not parents have heard about Parent Aware. How they've heard about the program they're using and what they want from their early care and education program. We think this information is helpful to Parent Aware implementation so they can continue to get that information about what parents are looking for. In the Parent Aware evaluation, we have a sample of parents that come from programs that have already been rated in Parent Aware. So there are other studies that have been done, and the Minnesota Early Learning Foundation has funded a baseline study to look at more parents in general who are using all types of childcare. What I'm talking about today are just the sample of parents who actually are already in a Parent Aware rated program. And when the survey was done last fall, at that point the fall of 2008, so two falls ago, only 20% had heard of Parent Aware at that time. So as you've heard, there's been a big push this year to promote the program. You may have heard some radio ads that have been on the radio recently for Parent Aware. And we've collected some new data in the fall of 2009 that we haven't analyzed yet. We'll be able to look at in that final report that was mentioned earlier to see if the awareness of Parent Aware has increased. Parents typically hear about their current program through word of mouth. And one of the things they say about why they chose the program they're in, they're equally split. Some of them say they chose it because they perceived it to be high quality. Other parents say they chose their program because of aspects related to convenience or affordability. So And I think that represents the tension that parents always have to balance the quality plus what they can afford and what's convenient for them. Parents do care about some of the aspects. We ask them what caused them to choose this program, or what do they feel is most important about the program that they've chosen. And they really do rate social interactions and aspects of the program that deal with warmth and nurturance toward their child as slightly more important than the academic aspects of their program. And they really want their program to promote positive child outcomes. And they value safety and structure and provisions for learning experiences. But we think this information is important to just as a reminder that parents really are looking for. School readiness is extremely important, but they view warmth, nurturance, and a caring environment as absolutely as part of preparing their child and helping their child feel safe and ready to learn. Okay, so now I'll turn to just some information that we gathered, as I mentioned, from a range of different stakeholders about the impact of parent aware. And I'll talk about three questions. What do they say is the most important impact of parent aware to date? How is parent aware changing discussions about early care and education? And then I'll just probably briefly go over the slide that talks about some of the legislation and legislative activities that have been related to parent aware. That's something we highlight in our report. Really coming through loud and clear is the perception that parent aware has brought the issue of quality to the forefront for programs, parents, and more broadly for the early childhood community. So we heard quotes like, parent aware has sparked conversation. It's gotten people talking about quality and what the next stage is for early education. And it's really the perception, again, that we heard coming through is that parent aware is changing the focal point of discussions about early care and education. So it provides common standards and a shared language for quality. There's a perception that before parent aware, it was hard to know what we're talking about when we say quality, early care and education. And parent aware really provides a definition. And it's also providing an infrastructure for quality. It's raised awareness, especially among providers, about quality. One stakeholder said it's huge to get people to recognize what the core components are of quality and why they need these to provide excellent care. And there was also a number of stakeholders who recognized the importance of receiving attention from legislators. They said legislative support sends a message to providers that this is important. This is a direction that this is the direction we are moving. I'll just go briefly over these. This is a list of the legislation and legislative activities related to parent aware that happened in the last session. So the parent aware pilot was extended, supports to prepare for a voluntary statewide QRIS, continuation of the school readiness connections pilot and the requirement for those providers to enroll in parent aware. There was the direction to create a framework for a QRIS. It's been also included in the work that's being done by the Early Childhood Advisory Council and subcommittees. And then there was also a report that was commissioned on scaling options that was presented by Ann Mitchell and Louise Stoney. So there's been quite a lot of activity related to quality rating systems.
Just to say, members, we're going to have a report on the scaling options on Tuesday, so we'll be hearing more about that. Mm-hmm.
So then the challenges in looking towards statewide implementation, we asked those that we interviewed to talk about the key challenges for the parent aware evaluation, or the parent aware, sorry, program in the final 18 months of the pilot, and then also to ask what they're emphasizing and looking ahead to in possible statewide implementation. So there was a sense that because this is a pilot program, there have been a number of changes in procedures and protocols, and that's been difficult. In some ways, it's a good thing because it means that the program has adapted and responded to changing needs or the perception that things weren't working, but it also creates confusion. So that was one of the messages that we heard from different stakeholders, that seems like the ground is shifting or there's some inconsistent messages. So just managing changes in procedures and protocols will be important in this last year. Also, making parent aware more responsive to cultural communities, that's already begun through the work group that has started and then through other discussions that are going on. Getting buy-in from all programs, there's still the sense that their parent aware may be better suited for more formal programs, not home-based programs, although as you saw, there are a number of family child care providers enrolling in parent aware currently. And then also having consistent and adequate resources to support quality improvement. And then finally, looking ahead towards statewide implementation, just a brief summary of the recommendations from stakeholders. It said it would be very important, and this is part of what we are tasked to do in our evaluation, is to assess and improve the rating process based on evaluation findings. So in particular, there's interest in knowing whether this process of having programs come in that receive an automatic rating, just to look at the validity of that process and how it relates to the process that the other programs go through that are rated from a 1 to a 4. Also, looking ahead, it will be important to improve capacity to provide quality improvement resources, especially curriculum training and consultation. A real strong sense that the focus needs to continue on, keep that focus on parents. A sense that the incentives for programs to participate needs to be increased, and that could be either through those parent-driven incentives like the allowances and the scholarships, or through other incentives that programs may have, like, for example, receiving higher reimbursement rates when they care for children on subsidies, those kinds of incentives. There's a sense that some of the processes, for example, those observations that I mentioned in the curriculum and assessment team reviews, that some of that might need to look at the feasibility of those moving forward and how that would work in a state if the program went statewide. A sense that there needs to be some strategies for tailoring parent aware to different geographic areas and different types of programs. And then the need to achieve consistency and stability in the program. So as we mentioned, we'll be releasing the report by the end of February. And this spring, we'll be out collecting the evaluation team will be out collecting our final round of data from children. So when we present that final report, we'll have some information about how those ratings are related to children's school readiness, and we'll also have an in-depth examination of the quality indicators in parent aware. And that, as we mentioned, that should be hopefully late September, early October.
Are there any plans for a longitudinal study?
Right now, MELF has provided some funding, and the university has provided some funding for tracking the set of children that were assessed in MELF-funded programs last year. They're tracking those children as they go to kindergarten. And it wasn't something that was originally funding, but the evaluation team is actually trying to find some resources to track some of the children that have been in the programs. And then I know my sense is that there's also a commitment to maintaining evaluation of parent aware and related efforts, professional development efforts, and other efforts like that. So I think I can't speak fully to that, but that's my understanding.
Thank you. Members, I want to ask if there's any questions, and we are going to have testimony from some providers. For me, it's interesting, here at the legislature, we often say, if we only had evaluation data, we would know what to do, and we could weigh this program against that program, we could do this and that, and then we get it, and it's almost raises sometimes more questions, because you think about how is it working, and how do you, especially in this kind of project, because it's funded, it would actually end, you're doing your evaluation, would it end next December then?
Yes.
And so it would, if there isn't funding found from a source, it would end next December, and then what happens to it then? And also for us, I think the questions are, how does this translate into potentially a program the state would be able to fund? And we know that when again the cost factors, it's been kind of expensive. So not sure if we could fund it like it's done with the evaluation. So I think in my mind, it's great to have a check-in point, but then also brings up a lot more questions. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speaking of which, yes. two questions on page 12 of your of the handouts. Statewide implementation recommendations from stakeholders. The one on that slide that particularly piques my interest, because it's been a concern of mine, is that there should be more of a focus in particular on the validity of the automatic rating process. You know, I've talked about this with Art Rolnick and Rob Grunewald, and I said, how is this any great revelation? We all know, and most people know, that Head Start has a lot of components, and so, but then when they're all given the same, you have no ability to tell if it's a good Head Start or not, and I don't know anybody that would claim that they're all identical in quality.
And the same with, and then school people complain, so now then the school readiness programs all automatically get a grade, the same grade as well. And to me, that isn't helpful for parents, or it goes against the integrity of what this whole rating system was supposed to be, to help parents know what kind of sight they're getting. And if you just lump a bunch of sights together, it's always bothered me that they all get the same grade no matter what. And then the other one that I haven't heard before that I like is the suggestion on the next slide where it says increase the incentives for programs to participate. And I, as everyone knows, I don't like the scholarships and allowances, but you said or have higher reimbursement rates for parents on subsidies. And I think, and I hope, Madam Chair, that that's an avenue that we pursue. You know, that looks to me like in the K-12 finance system where we have basic per pupil funding, but we know that some kids need more money spent on them so they can have more time and attention. And we, so we have compensatory revenue, English language learner revenue, and special education revenue. But yet for these little kids, they just get a head count, all the same money, no matter what. And so I would be very interested in us having some fleshing out of that at some point, you know, and do other state, are there any other states that do that, that have higher funding? And the idea, these fundings in K-12 all follow the child, you know, they follow the child, but they're not akin to vouchers, which I hate, but the more money for children who need it that follows the child, in my mind, is a total different cat. And I think we should look at that. So I don't, maybe you could answer on the spot,
Madam Chair,
about what
and
other
Representative,
states
do. Yes, there are, this is a strategy in among 26 quality rating systems that we looked at. There are at least 15 or more of them that have a tiered rating that where the programs, in some cases, they may get a higher reimbursement rate based on their quality level. In some cases, they also can receive an award based on the density of children served, the density of children receiving subsidies. And just another type of award that I didn't mention, and it's not, doesn't fall into the categories of those that you mentioned, but there are a number of the states with quality rating systems that use just an actual award for, as you move from level to level, you receive a quality award. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, some states, those awards are quite substantial, and others, they're smaller. But that those are definitely some different options for providing incentives to programs.
Thank you.
Representative Gradley, I have a bill, and I see if we can explain this all and how it fits in, but that will increase. Right now, they get an increased 15% if they're accredited, then they get an increased reimbursement rate that would do it for parent-aware rated programs. As far as parents, I mean, there's some talk of potentially doing a tax credit, which are now popular, I guess, at the legislature in the last few months, but giving parents some kind of tax incentive to go to a quality rated place. There's also some talk of incentives for providers that they would get tax credits for the number of CCAP kids that they take. So they would get an incentive to take more CCAP kids at quality rating programs. So there are a number of things floating out there, but I think what we hear hearing is people, the incentives are really important, and we need to, unfortunately, that's also where the money comes in. So if we can find some money over here, that would certainly help if the legislature is going to be involved in the incentives. Any other questions? Representative Downey?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe this is a longer discussion, but I don't know how to say this any more politely or diplomatically other than to just say it, but I don't know that I agree with the statement that somehow we've answered the questions about the QRS through this study, and in fact, I don't know that I see any real measurable information about whether or not rating a child care provider according to QRS improves the quality, or whether or not parents actually even use the QRS. It feels to me like we've done a very highly intensive activity to support these organizations through a QRS scoring activity. And even after that, one of the slides said that 20% of the parents weren't even, I think, aware of the QRS rating. So I've got a number of questions that I fired off to Lori Davis after the preliminary presentation on this study, and for me, the answers didn't really come back convincing me that this is at all the direction we should go, that there's any kind of identifiable return on this as compared to vehicles like licensure and accreditation or other ways to improve quality and improve the outcomes for the kids. So I guess with that, I mean, I could easily go through the list of questions, but it might bog down the entire hearing. But just to say that, at least from my perspective, I don't think we do have the data to know whether we're going ahead. And part of the response that I got was that, kind of regardless of the pilot outcomes, we're going ahead. And I think that seems to be backwards if the pilot is. And so maybe the question for the chair, for the testifiers, you know, is the intent of the pilot to determine whether QRS will actually produce the outcomes that we want and it's a good value for the money that we'd spend on it? Is there kind of a go, no-go decision, or is the pilot simply kind of the first phase of launching it statewide?
Ms. Tout? Madam Chair, I don't feel that I know the answer to that question. I wasn't the person who developed the implementation. I can speak to what I am contracted to do as the evaluator of the program, and certainly the design of this evaluation does not, it won't permit us to say, is it better, is a QRS better than not a QRS? That's not how it was designed. The evaluation is designed to look at how this program operates and how it was linked to outcomes for children. We are at this is the interim evaluation, so we haven't presented our final evaluation yet, and I don't know that that would fully address the questions that have been raised, but I don't feel confident that I can speak to the intent of the pilot itself.
Thank you. I can address that a little bit. What I'd like to do is see if anybody else has any input, but then probably hear from the providers and watch the video and then continue to have the discussion, because we are doing members QRS over three hearings. So we really do want to air this out. We want to understand what QRS means. And I think I'll just give you my viewpoint to the answer to your question is, as we know, there's a national trend for quality rating systems around the country. The primary reason is we're trying to figure out if kids are ready for school and how to then affect if kids are ready and the quality of their care. When you go into Head Starts, there is some kind of a rating. When you go into school readiness programs, generally there's some kinds of guidelines. But when you get into child care, it's a lot more mixed. So this was a way of putting in guidelines, obviously, and a piloting a program of seeing, if you put in quality indicators, how it affects the programs and the kids. That being said, here in Minnesota, the Minnesota Early Learning Foundation took this on. I'm sure you know that's Dwayne Benson, who was a Republican senator, as well as several CEOs, made this their priority. We might not know this little bit of history, but we put MELF into action through legislation. We actually had legislators on their board, and they kicked us all off and took it private. And so it really is supposed to be kind of a separate experiment from what we do at the state, although, as we know, there's been sort of an expectation would eventually pick this up. I think that that is not clear to us whether we're going to be doing that or not. One is the money issue, and Representative Peterson's been involved. The Early Childhood Caucus is pretty involved in this. When you see the Kellogg report next week, and I don't know if you've seen that or not, but they did comparisons with North Carolina and Maine and kind of what their QRS programs look like, what this looks like. This is actually a pretty expensive gold Cadillac, you know, program. If we were could pick it up, we couldn't do it as it is right now. It's way too expensive. When we come out with it, we have to look what the evaluation is going to be. We have to look at what our money situation is. And we'd probably have to look at some kind of much modified program. And even all of us would be deciding how much this moves forward. So I think you're at right at the point where the questions should be asked. I think, though, I would encourage you to keep asking and to remember, for people who want evaluations and want data, we are giving you an evaluation and some data. So, and often we would hope you can look at that, and I'm not giving it to you. It was designed to have that. So there's so many programs here at the legislature, like I said, we can't even evaluate, and everybody's always asking for one. Now, here it is. We have one. It does create more questions. There's one more coming. I think there will be a meeting after session. There's one or two bills on this session that are moving forward. But there would be a meeting after session with MELF, the legislature, United Way, and the funders to say exactly sort of your question, though, where are we going? And if we're going somewhere, who's going to pay for this? Because the state clearly right now doesn't have the money to do at least a program of this magnitude. And we found, Representative Greiling, those incentives are something people really want, so who's going to pay for those? Maybe the foundations could pay for those. But I think a lot of it's up in the air. So If we could, members, I don't know if Representative Peterson, if you want to comment, but we should probably, since we have some providers here, listen and do that. But what I'd like to do is have you unfold your concerns over the next three hearings. Does that make sense? And so we can kind of go on the journey together. I think the journey is a long way out. We're struggling with this too, in terms of is this the right thing for Minnesota? Is it, you know, we have providers that are asking those questions too.
Thank you. If I could just briefly respond. So I thank you. I'd welcome the chance to kind of put my questions on the agenda, and maybe we could even have a deeper dive into the study results, or have the various experts on the topic come in and try and address them. But for me, this is one of the flaws of pilots, is that you do the pilots in a very controlled, highly intensive, kind of cost per unit way that cannot be replicated in the general rollout. And so we draw all kinds of conclusions about the value and the efficacy of what we've done in a pilot, and then you never realize it in the rollout because you can't scale it. As you've said, there's just no way we can take the gold-plated MELF pilots and somehow roll them out to every kid, which is what is in statute, as our objective, and expect to get the same results. And on top of that, I don't know that I've really seen data in this pilot that substantiates that parents are actually using the information in a meaningful way, nor that the rating system is actually producing measurable results for those kids. And maybe we will see that. So just the cost and the efficacy of rolling from a pilot into a wide-scale rollout, and frankly, the solidity of the information, I think really bears further examination. And I mean, I'd argue as a state policymaker that if we can't substantiate that, maybe it would make sense to try and expand the pilot and learn more. But boy, to advance on a statewide rollout kind of on the hope, it would be a mistake. So I'll leave it at that and look forward to putting my specific questions in an email, and maybe they can be agenda topics over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate Representative Downey's questions. I think they're very good, and I think they're answers that we're going to have. I would ask, however, you keep MELF separate from QRIS as a concept, because MELF is a specific pilot program, and the concept of QRIS is also moving through the Department of Education and Health and Human Services as a separate kind of program also that talks about standards, professional standards for programs. And personally, I think parents want and need information of the kind that we could provide for them. But can we roll this out all in 1 year and all over the state? I personally don't think so. I think we're all struggling with what would the components be, what would they look like, what are the incentives to parents, to providers. There's just a lot of unanswered questions yet as we're struggling through this. And I think anytime you're embarking on a program of this sort, you do have a lot of unanswered questions. But I think the concept is good. I do think parents want it. I think parents want information, and they want to know that a program is quality. And if you have that information for them, I think they will come. But that's just some comments offhand. I do think you have to keep MELF as a separate entity over here, because as we've said, it's a very good program, but whether we can emulate that even in other pilots around the state will remain to be seen.
I will just comment further and to say I think it's good that we're struggling with legislative issues like this, and that we are having the wrestling match. I think when you see that scaling report, I will tell you, for me, it only brought more questions. I thought it was, you know, I had hoped it was the answer, and I'll tell you, that report is not the answer either. And we will have an airing of that, and it may bring up, as you see how other states have done this, and kind of comparing with what we're doing. There's a lot to think about. So I appreciate the dialogue. An email would be helpful if you wanted to, you know, for specifically so the committee members can kind of know what the concerns are. Also, as we're walking through this in two more hearings, we can frame some of it maybe around that. And with that, I think, Ms. Tout, we're going to have to move on. We appreciate you being here. We know technically SRI did this evaluation from, right? Or no, you did this one. Okay, you did this one. If I can get this, okay.
SRI has done the scholarship evaluation and the allowance evaluation.
Even I get mixed
up
on that.
And the school readiness connection evaluation.
So we very much appreciate it. We have two providers. I'd like them to come down. Oh, we're going to show the video as they come down. Now, the reason I want to be clear on why we're showing the video is it's not to advertise or promote Parent Aware to you all, but to show you kind of what's out there. And it interviews a family provider and shows what she thinks about Parent Aware, so we think it's helpful. And I represent Representative Downey saw part of it in another meeting. I know part of that. So we'll get this. It's about 7 minutes, so if you can, I think it's worth seeing.
I've been doing child care in St. Paul for 24 years. I have an assortment of children ages 6 weeks to 5 years.
When the children come in the morning, they will come over here. They will.
24 years ago, I think I could have classified myself as a babysitter. I didn't have the knowledge, the skill. I was watching kids and I was keeping them safe. Now I'm educating these kids and I'm getting them ready to go to kindergarten. So yes, there is a big difference.
The latest difference for Jean Lang's child care business is Parent Aware.
I heard about Parent Aware probably about a year and a half ago. My 4-star rating, I'm very proud of that.
Many child care providers have heard about the Parent Aware 4-star rating system. The Parent Aware rating tool is designed to recognize and support child care providers. The tool rates child care and early education programs on a 1-4 scale.
I heard about Parent Aware and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for this. I love the idea of getting a rating. I work very hard for what I do. I put a lot of time and effort into my business, and having a 4-star rating, and I knew all the hard work that I put into it was worth it.
Great job!
But Parent Aware is more than just a rating system. It's a way to help all types of child care professionals to do the best job they can do in several key areas. Family partnerships, materials and strategies for teaching and nurturing, tracking children's learning, teacher and caregiver training, and child safety.
Yes, it starts with a B. Where's Butterfly? After 24 years, I know what I'm doing, but I can always learn more. Parent Aware came in and showed me where I could make improvements. I was a good quality child care before. Now I'm a lot better. Just having them come in and say, this is maybe what you should change or could change if you wanted to.
For Jean, it meant small changes in communication with parents that she says made big differences, such as a simple bulletin board.
This just lets the parents know what's going on. I think it's made me more professional. I want parents to know this is not a job, it's my profession. I am very serious about this. And the parents know that because I have a rating. I talked to other providers that were maybe concerned because of what they didn't know what it was going to entail. I talked them into trying it, and everybody is happy that it's done the program. We can always learn, and to have Parent Aware come in and just show us different ideas, how can you not be happy with that?
They went too far, 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 whoops.
But some child care providers may have some concerns.
My reservations about the Parent Aware program were that it would be too center-focused, that family child care providers would be rated and compared to the standards of a center. And the things that make a family child care home valuable and a high-quality place that a family would choose are not going to be the same reasons that a family chooses a center.
Lisa Thompson got a bachelor's degree in education before she started her child care business. She has always been a strong advocate for family child care.
There are things that are not as measurable as some of the standards in a child care center. And so that worried me that it wouldn't be an accurate picture of really what a family child care is. What are we doing after snack today? We're going outside again?
Yeah.
She was also uncertain about Parent Aware because of the additional work it initially required.
It is an intensive process as far as the paperwork because we are in business by ourselves and we're already taxed to the maximum time-wise from 12 hours a day. So adding something on top of that to fulfill was quite a challenge.
But in addition to the challenge, there was help in the form of coaching and also some implementation dollars. Lisa says Parent Aware helped her parents understand the work she does every day with their children.
Bye-bye, Sheila. The Parent Aware program definitely formalized many of the things that I was already doing informally. Some of the things that I have changed in my program have been things that I never thought of before. One of the things that I really had never done, aside from just informal conversations with parents, is talk to them about the curriculum, the programming that I do, and the philosophy behind it. It was wonderfully received by the parents. All right, bye-bye. See you later. The other piece that I didn't do formally before Parent Aware was assessments. And it's something that I did very informally because of the personal relationship that a small group allows me to have with the children. But to actually put that in writing and be able to show someone that this is what I do was it's a big part of the Parent Aware is being able to show assessments. A lot of people don't come into this business with an education background, but are fantastic at caregiving and would love to increase their skill levels in preparing children for kindergarten and bringing their program in line with what's necessary. We need to be set up for success, and we need to be given the resources to succeed. The stars are nice. But I think far more than that, I know how hard I worked to earn the stars. And looking back on, that process and the effort and the time that went into it, it feels very good to have the recognition of something I've done for so long and just to be recognized in a professional light. Bye, girls.
Say bye, Miss Lisa.
Bye-bye, Lisa. Bye-bye.
I think that the Parent Aware program can be one of the best things that happened to family child care.
Thank you. So one thing I like about that video is it shows that it's not easy, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, was she rated 2 stars and then was she reevaluated or can you share that?
I'm not sure I know the answer.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
I remember she testified before us, if you remember. Lisa Thompson was here.
Madam Chair, that last provider, I think, was someone who testified actually against the program initially and then is now one of the biggest supporters of it. So
I think hopefully you can pay attention to some of those. There is a letter in your packet from JABIC, and this is a place, actually there was a student was in my class that runs this. We wanted them to come. They were rated, and they just got 2 stars, and they're really interested in how you move up and how to make that happen, and they're going to be getting the grants to get the things they need to start to move up through the process. This is a 2-room child care in a church in Minneapolis, and they serve an amazingly diverse population. So it's very interesting. So we have quality rating that can go on in all kinds of settings. Members, with that, now I would like to ask the providers to come forward, and we'll get started. We have about 25 minutes. We are going to have Nicole go first. If you'd like to introduce, state your name for the record and tell us more. And then we're going to have Shelley go second. Welcome to the committee.
Hi. My name is Nicole Fretham. I'd like to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to speak here today. I am the Assistant Director and Curriculum Coordinator for a private child care center in St. Paul. I am a faculty member at Rasmussen College in their early childhood education program, and I am a mother to a beautiful 18-month-old daughter. I received my master's degree in early childhood education last year. I had originally planned to become a secondary teacher when I was studying for my undergraduate degree, but after a lot of my volunteer hours in the schools, I was disillusioned with the public school system and felt that the students I wanted to help were the ones that had already dropped out or were standing outside the classroom building, not in class. After graduating with a bachelor's degree in theater arts instead, I decided that I wanted to do more for my country than pursue a career on the stage. I was led to early childhood education by the promise of being able to really change the landscape of America. The research of the Perry Preschool Study and the subsequent work demonstrated to me the awesome power of a high-quality early childhood education in the lives of at-risk youth. It convinced me that it was through educating children ages birth to age 8 I could really make a difference. ParentAware, the quality rating system here in Minnesota, is a way of ensuring that children receive the high-quality level of education necessary to produce long-term results. The quality indicators of curriculum assessment, teacher qualification, and parent partnerships are aligned with best practices in the field and have been shown to be essential to high-quality environments. As children are spending more of their days outside of their family home and in the care of other people, it is critical to ensure that these environments are conducive to healthy development and that parents are able to determine what factors to make a quality environment. A lot of parents right now don't know. And we see that when they're touring our centers and they don't know what questions to ask or what really determine quality. A functional quality rating system here in Minnesota will take the buy-in of parents, legislators, and providers to provide the information necessary for parents to make good decisions about their child's care. As an educator, I believe in the principles and standards rated by ParentAware and encourage my staff to follow these guidelines. We do frequent in-service trainings that align with curriculum and assessment and teacher training, and we encourage our staff to pursue further training, and we hire highly qualified staff to begin with. However, as an administrator, I struggle with the amount of staffing hours necessary to complete the documentation and improvements necessary to receive the rating we feel our center deserves. Like the family provider said in the video, we're doing a lot of these things, it's just it's not on paper. With the way that the system is currently set up, the centers that receive the highest quality rating have no long-term financial benefits, aside from having a nice rating, to get them to buy in, whereas centers that don't receive 4 stars are eligible for scholarship dollars to improve their centers. And part of the purpose for the way that ParentAware set up the system is to ensure programs are able to improve their quality. So it makes sense that centers that are not providing the best care receive some funds to improve. However, without incentive to achieve a 4-star rating, I think provider buy-in to the process will be hindered, or you may find centers, you know, intentionally going for a 3-star rating to get some funds. I think, in my opinion, that it's essential to the success of this system is that providers who receive high ratings, 3 or 4 stars, receive an increased reimbursement rate for county assistant payments. Not only does this encourage centers who provide care to our most at-risk students to strive to provide care of the highest quality, but it's also the smartest investment of taxpayer dollars in terms of getting the best value for the money that they put into the child care assistance program. It's only through high-quality care that there are demonstrated return results. The Perry Preschool Study estimated $7 for every $1 you put in. If we're giving the same amount of money to centers that provide 1-star care versus 4-star care, it's a foolish investment of our money. Currently, The center that I work at provides care to many families who are on child care assistance. 59% of our students were licensed for 92 and currently have 83 enrolled. 59% of them qualify for free or reduced lunches. In terms of dollars, what percentages means, the average weekly rate for an infant in St. Paul, according to Child Care Research and Referrals 2009 study, was $281 per week. Our center charges $273 a week. We're in right in the middle of the Midway and Frogtown neighborhoods. So the population that does come to our center that self-pay is not extremely wealthy. So we've tried to provide our care at lower than county averages so that people in our area can receive care. The county reimburses at $254 per week maximum. So it is a significant difference for us, and that 15% would mean being able to give our staff significant raises, being able to hire more teachers with teaching licenses who are smart and ask for more money. Also, quality improvement is not free. In order to pay the salaries of higher qualified teachers, pay for staff training and development, improve classroom resources and materials to get those star ratings and maintain that quality over time, it requires an increased cash flow to cover those differences. And a one-time grant will get you the original rating, but if you're going to maintain it, there needs to be some form of cash flow to make that happen. As far as some of the questions that were brought up, I know someone brought up the 3 or 4 star rating option, and I think, I think that is a good option for providers. As far as does rating improve the quality of care, I can say from our experience, yes, and I would agree with what the family care provider said, is having to document that you are providing care that's high quality makes it more intentional, makes you reflect on your practices, and helps you to come up with systems to ensure that quality over time. Child care is a field where there is huge amount of staff turnover due to low rates, a stressful job, a lot of people who aren't educated going into it. And in order to, you know, set yourself up for success in the future, that training, you need to have good systems in place for training new staff and retaining staff. And having very clear standards, which ParentAware gives you, sets up a way for you to do that. And as far as whether parents notice or care, I can say from my own experience right now, we are going through ParentAware and accreditation process. We are doing parent surveys right now is our annual survey time. And we are seeing from some parents that they don't really know what ParentAware is or accreditation is, and it sounds really good, but they want to focus on improvement of the classroom environments. What's interesting is that ParentAware and accreditation will help you improve classroom environments. I was at the MNACE-MNSACA conference this weekend, which is the conference for, in Minnesota, early childhood educators and school-age care providers. And on a panel of people who have recently gone through accreditation, one of the providers mentioned that it was hard to get parents to buy in, but once they started making these quality improvements and started the process, the parents noticed, and that's when they began to buy into it. So parents might not know from the get-go what ParentAware is, but they will see the difference in the classrooms and environments, and that's what will invest them in the program further. You mentioned licensure as far as improving quality and accreditation. And as far as that goes, I think licensure is very minimum standards, very minimum. It's the bare minimum. And Minnesota's licensing standards are quite good compared to other states, but it doesn't really set up and give specific guidelines for how things are laid out to improve quality. There's not a lot of guidance in it. And there are many different accrediting bodies out there, and if Minnesota were to have a statewide system, if the quality rating system were to go statewide, it one, aligns us with Minnesota's early learning standards. One of the things that ParentAware looks for is that you are aligning your curriculum and assessment procedures with the early learning standards put out by the Department of Education and Department of Human Services. Accreditation doesn't look for that because they're all nationwide. So this helps us to align with all of those standards and get a system that we know works for Minnesota's children and not for children in other areas.
If you could start to wrap up.
Okay.
Another
Thank
minute
you.
Or so.
Yeah. Obviously, you have to evaluate the problem with automatic ratings for accredited centers. But that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And very helpful. And there, what I'd like to do is have the other testifier go on, and if there's any questions. I do need to have the minutes approved, though, and I wondered, Representative Mariani?
Yeah, Chair.
Representative Mariani, thank you. Moves approval of the minutes for February 9th. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion prevails, and the minutes for February 9th are approved. That was our bit of business we had to do there. Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record.
Okay. Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Shelley Thunborg. I am the director of the New Horizon Academy in East St. Paul. I have been with New Horizon Academy for 25 years. I began my career in a classroom as an aide and worked hard throughout the years and have now been the director for 6 years. My center serves 13 infants, 23 toddlers, 62 preschoolers, and 60 school-agers for a total of 158 children, 90% of which receive child care assistance. My staff of 20 and I went through the parent-aware rating system in the fall of 2007 and received a 3-star rating initially and then went on to receive a 4-star rating after implementing improvements recommended by parent-aware. Our center serves a large number of high-risk families. We face many challenges, but we also have many strengths. I bring this up because I think it's important to recognize that every provider has strengths as well as challenges. A high-quality provider is going to evaluate how to view these strengths and challenges. What Parent Aware does is recognize the program's strengths and provides the program with the tools that they need to make their challenges strengths as well. Having challenges is not an excuse not to offer high-quality early care and education opportunities to the children of Minnesota. I would also like to point out that my center is full. I know that there are many child care programs in Minnesota that are feeling the effects of the economy, but ours is not. Part of that reason is true to that is that parents know our child care center is high-quality center. Parents want what is best for their children, and this increases the demand for high-quality programs like New Horizon Academy. I would like to read you New Horizon Academy's mission statement. We are dedicated to open new horizons of self-esteem and potential for the little people entrusted in our care, their families, and our employees by providing the continuously improving the best child development on the planet. I read this to you for two reasons. First, New Horizon Academy strives to offer the best child care on the planet. Parent Aware is a system that recognizes which programs offer the best early childhood experience and provides the family with this valuable information to help them with the selection process. The second reason I read our mission statement is to point out that the part of the continuous improvements. Quality rating and improvement systems like Parent Aware are based on continuous improvements. High-quality learning environments that are focused on providing young children with the tools needed to be school-ready and life-ready. We develop lifelong learners. But to do this effectively, we must hold ourselves to the same lifelong standard. All providers have room for improvement. Good providers should not be intimidated by the program assessment, but rather should have it as an important component of their program. Some of the strongest aspects of my program are the results of evaluations that initially were not as good as I would like them to have been. Put with assistance, I can now be proud of all the components of my child care center. Parent Aware helps parents by giving them a simple way to access quality and providers a way to improve quality. I believe that the system should be made available to all families and providers in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. And you're on Conway, is that
yes.
right? So sort of the east side?
Lower east side.
Lower east side. Members, questions? Representative Peterson.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And this probably goes to some of Representative Downey's concerns, too. He's talked about the issues of program standards and outcomes versus children's assessments for children and their outcomes. I think that's an issue we will be wrestling with because much of what we're doing deals with program standards and how you develop programs that meet the needs of your children, and you're assessed on those program standards. Are you doing anything in terms of assessing your children and their outcomes, and are you using a standardized forms, or are you how are you assessing the progress of your children?
Ms. Thunberg?
We actually do several, but our center is also part of several other pilot groups. Our center partnerships with the St. Paul schools in the PEK program, so we use their assessments, IGDE's assessments. We also have the creative curriculum assessments that we use, and then just through conferences and things like that. So we have several different forms of tracking.
Do you want to answer that as well?
Sure. I can say what we have developed, a system based on the Minnesota Early Childhood Indicators of Progress to align the curriculum we provide with the standards set up by the Early Childhood Indicators of Progress, and we assess development based on that. So we have been training our staff over the past 2 or 3 months, and they are working to implement this system, but it's part of our quality improvement process. We have been aligned with PEK in the past, Project Early Kindergarten in the past, so we still make some use of the IGDE's assessments, but because we're not allowed to be part of the program anymore because our contract, we just weren't eligible anymore, I believe. So we utilize them, but not as much because they don't, the IGDEs will give you a better general picture of the success of students, but what research has demonstrated for young children is that you need to use multiple sources to ensure their development. So we do that. We use a lot of authentic assessment in addition to the IGDEs and checking our standards and conferring with parents and building partnerships with them to ensure that the care and the education that the children are receiving meet all of our standards.
Representative Greiland.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and either one of the testifiers. I have shared Representative Downey's concerns that the pilots are so gold-plated that they're unsustainable, and I, you know, that a lot of money going into very few kids, and then we had that worst-case scenario where the PICA Head Start took all that money but didn't actually even add any more kids, and everyone told me that was one extreme example, but yeah. Nonetheless, that's been my concern, is that there's very few kids involved for the money involved, and then how to scale that up ever with the state of the state. My question to you is, do you think the benefit, would you, first of all, two questions. One, is the benefit for parents so they know the quality and hence they know where to go? And then two, financial model speaking, how does it work out for you when you don't get that size of allowances and scholarships?
Who would like to go first?
Well, since we haven't been rated yet, we aren't receiving any scholarships or allowances. What I've heard from other centers is that they're great, they bring in a lot of money. For us, you know, obviously a lot of the kids that are eligible for scholarships and allowances would also be eligible for county assistance. So if those children enrolled in our center, we would actually get the rate that we charge our self-pay parents instead of the county rate, which is generally about $20 less per week. I think because we didn't participate in that program, I think the benefits of it would be just as good with associating increased reimbursements for county assistance as it would be for giving those kids scholarships. I think they would do the same thing in a way that made more sense, makes more sense for the system, and it's easier to be accountable mm-hmm. through that system. And as far as parents knowing and being able to see quality, I think it's, you know, the radio ads are a good start. I know Parent Aware sponsored the NPR's Rock the Cradle a couple of weeks ago when we were at that and saw them out there. So getting the word out to parents, obviously the more 4-star rated centers there are that can, you know, display those banners makes parents wonder what that is. Mm-hmm. And the more partnerships that Parent Aware can build with the resource and referral networks and other parent groups would help that as well. But I think parents do see the quality improvements as you're making them.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Thunberg.
I think with the allowance and scholarship program, it did make a difference when the allowances were out there. It did up our enrollment by about 30 preschoolers or so just for our center. Once those allowances ended, we did lose those children because there is such a long waiting list for the CCAP. So they had to find alternative care because they couldn't afford us without the allowance. Whether it was parent aware that brought it to them, I mean, I'm not sure how the scholarship and allowance people, when they were handing out the money, if they informed them they had to go to a parent aware rated center, that if that's how they knew, I'm not sure how the parents knew, but the ones that came from allowance and scholarships were aware that we were rated through parent aware. So how that information was given to them, I'm not sure, but that did make a difference. I do know that our company does have several other centers where the allowance and the scholarship money did make an impact, and without the rating, they wouldn't have received that money.
Representative Greiling.
And then, Madam Chair, and then to you, then where did those children go when they left and couldn't be there anymore? And then did you fill the slots with CCAP?
We pretty much filled it with CCAP. A lot of the children that were on the allowance were of kindergarten age, so they did go on to full-day kindergarten. The ones that did not make kindergarten, I'm not really sure where they went to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That sounds to me that if we would just fund the CCAP program, it would be the same difference, and then we'd get all the kids that needed it without the inefficient way, which I think the tax credits or deductions or, you know, having things for everybody when you've got sliding fee things for the people who really need it. It seems to me when there's tight money, you should be going with the families that really need it rather than funding for everybody that, you know, we can't seem to afford, but we could more quickly and earlier afford funding sliding fee child care, and that would get the kids we're looking for into the slots.
Representative Greiling, I mean, we'll continue to have the debate as there's going to probably be some allowance or scholarship type bills traveling this year. I'm not there. We haven't seen them yet, but they may be coming. And then we always have to remember that QRS is, as mentioned, is the kind of receiver of the allowance monies, but they are separate. And when we do these valuations, they're valued separately. And, of course, allowances were discontinued by the legislature, although, as has been said, they're in hibernation sort of and could come up at any point. We'll make one last – any last questions? I'm going to make – a last comment here. One, it's important you're here Tuesday. This is like a, I feel like it's a little bit of a, I hate to call it a soap opera, but it's the unfolding story of QRS. The next segment, stay tuned, on Tuesday is this scaling option. So you get to see how these professionals, really national experts, said some options for scaling and that what we found, and there's just a lot of issues related to that. So I think you'll find that interesting and hope you will be at committee on Tuesday. Representative Peterson?
Madam Chair, I just have to make one comment after all of this, and that is that I really think that parents are beginning to recognize the importance of the 0 to 5, but, you know, and the more that we can publicize not only the importance of those early years, but also talk more about quality places for their children to go, you will see a difference. Because as we were attending some of, in Minnetonka actually, and they were talking about the radio ads that have gone on about parent aware, and they were saying that their parents were coming in and saying, okay, parent aware, are you rated? You know, do you have a 4-star rating? And of course, they couldn't even be in the program yet, so they were a little bit dismayed about the idea that the ads had gone out about this. But the reality is that if you do publicizing about 4-star ratings and a quality program, no matter where the money comes from, parents want their children in a quality program. And simply giving CCAP doesn't assure that they're going to get a quality program. It says you might get into some kind of a program because you're getting some kind of a subsidy, but it doesn't tell you what kind of a program that's going to be.
Thank you. I also want to thank the providers. We know there are kids, your centers are probably closing right now and you're not there, and we appreciate you coming out. I think it's really important for us as members. You know, you're the real people doing the real work, and we really appreciate you taking the time to be here and sharing your stories and your lives with us, and I hope people will meet them and get to know them, because I think the other thing is as you can see, the jury is out and we're trying to learn, and you're all part of that. So thank you for being here. With that, the meeting is adjourned.